From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I am Seth Kaiser with The Athletic. I am here with the immutable Chris Clark. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. First and foremost, depending on exactly when you're listening, well, it doesn't really depend on that. I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to the future. Chris, is the future everything you were expecting and hoping it would be?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not near enough into the future, far enough into the future to see that the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. So That's okay, though. We will get there in a couple of weeks.
Sure. Now, Chris, I'm a little disappointed. You haven't told me yet how different I sound without an appendix.
Well, I don't really hear it in your voice.
You can't quite hear it. I am on the mend. I had emergency surgery this last weekend because my appendix decided to get crazy. You know, it just started partying a little too early. Really.
How much you party. So
yes, that's me. And I just want to thank everyone for reaching out and asking how I was doing and saying nice things. Right now, I am sitting here in my bedroom recovering. So if you happen to hear my children more than normal, well, it's because I can't get away like I normally can. But I just want to thank everyone. Surgery went well. I'm on the mend. I'm feeling a little loopy. Not quite loopy enough to do like a 30-tweet, live tweet Bird Box experience. Which is what I did while I was at the hospital, all hopped up on painkillers because I couldn't do real work. So that was fun. I don't know, Chris, what you accomplished, but I live tweeted watching Bird Box. So
yeah, I didn't accomplish that, but I do want to give a big shout out. Happy New Year to everybody. And from Ryan and I as well, Seth, thank you very much for listening in 2018. We hit our goal. We hit 1 million listens in 2018.
Woo! Congratulations. I think that's awesome.
It just got over 600 episodes too. So
that is a lot of listens. That's more than two per episode.
Just a little bit.
I'm not going to say how many more because I don't feel like doing the math because math is evil. Well, man, life is good. There are a few things I want to talk about. I'm not going to have a lot of stamina tonight, but I obviously want to talk Chiefs. We've got plenty of time. Let's talk Chiefs bye week first and foremost. I have talked to a lot of nervous Chiefs fans. They're not as excited about a home game at Arrowhead as you think.
Well, and I can understand why. I mean, well, okay. I guess I shouldn't say I can understand why. I can listen to the reasons why.
Sure.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me because the past does not predict the future in this case.
Sure.
Completely different team, completely different atmosphere, completely different coach. There's nobody that was on that team from 97 on this team still. So,
right.
And yeah, they've had their issues over the past couple of years, but they never had Patrick Mahomes as QB either. So,
right. Well, and so, it's just certain things. So, last year they had wild card weekend. They've got the Titans at home and they lost in unbelievable fashion. Then the year before they play the Steelers and they lose in a game. And that was after a bye week, not the one seed, but after a bye week and they lose in rather embarrassing fashion, all that stuff. So fans, do you think it's accurate to say Chiefs fans have a little bit of like playoff PTSD?
I wouldn't categorize it as a little bit.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Just gonna throw that out.
They have visions of quarterbacks catching their own passes. Well, that's actually what I've worked on first and foremost this week. As always, you people have been patient. By the way, check out some of the stuff we're doing on The Athletic. Written about this topic. I'm going to be writing about quite a few other things as well. With the playoffs closing in, it's been a blast writing about this Chiefs team. So first things first. So, Chris, I want to walk through some of the essentials of what I've written about this week on The Athletic in terms of home field advantage. Some people don't think it matters that much. The Chiefs have home field advantage. Let's walk through. It's obviously a huge advantage to only have to win two games instead of three. That's a big deal. Bye week's huge.
Yep.
How much do you think it matters that the Chiefs are at Arrowhead rather than on the road?
I do think that the crowd is going to matter a little bit, and I already know where you're going with this before you even say it. The one thing that I will throw out there, and if you want to call me negative for it, go right ahead, is yes, Kansas City played better defense at home. I would also say their opponents that they played at home were not as good offensively.
What if I were to tell you that even when you isolated for that, it still isn't even close? That on the road, they allowed an average of almost 10 extra points per game beyond what their opponents normally averaged. Does that make sense? So what I mean by that is, so like, okay, everyone knows the Rams have a good offense, right? I mean, obviously, but they didn't average no 54 points a game, but they put up 54 on the Chiefs. Every single team the Chiefs played on the road, every single team scored more points on at their place than they averaged. When they played the Chiefs, they scored more points than their season average. All eight games, including a team like Oakland, who the defense just demolished in the season closer. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
And so I totally agree. There's definitely a difference in competition because you played the Rams, you played the Patriots, you played better teams on the road, make no mistake. But the defense, even if you isolate for that, they did so much better at home. And in particular, where I think it's going to matter the most is in terms of rushing the quarterback. Because, I mean, what do you think? You think the season sort of rot? I mean, the defense, that's pretty much the only thing they do well.
Yeah. They obviously don't stop the run well. They are struggling at times stopping the pass, although they did an okay job yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or actually, not yesterday, on Sunday. I apologize. The one thing I will say, and this is something I brought up in the podcast with Ryan and Matt, is how amazing is it that the Chiefs, as bad as their defense has been, they didn't allow the Raiders to get past the Chiefs' 32-yard line once.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. That whole game felt so strange, and maybe part of it was because the defense played well, despite, you know, the announcers, well, Mr. Aarons in particular, continuously trying to talk about how badly they were doing. Which definitely affected the mood of everyone watching the game. People were just grumpy while watching that game until it turned into a laugher.
We do need to take a quick break, but I want to throw this out there before, and then you can talk about whatever you want to after the break. I have to say, if you haven't seen it, go back and look at the Locked On Chiefs account from Monday, and go look at Dustin Colquitt talking about how he was sure he was going to be punting with a third and long from the Chiefs' own 11-yard line. That is a fantastic video, and I love Dustin Colquitt. He's just an awesome guy.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
That really is a fantastic video. Colquitt is so funny. He's hilarious. And, you know, it is interesting, you know, that attitude. I was sure we were going to punt. I really do think we are dealing with a fan base and maybe even a few team members that are shell-shocked, that are culture-shocked. But I really, the playing at Arrowhead versus on the road this year, night and day on offense. People have asked about, or on defense. People have asked, well, is Mahomes better on the road? Well, he's had to throw the ball a lot more, because the defense has been terrible. And so,
which is crazy because you think about it, he threw 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He threw 10 less touchdowns at home than he threw on the road.
Right. Well, and he didn't, and that's the thing. He didn't have to. I mean, at home, they generally did very, very, very well. And it just wasn't the same. There just weren't the same issues that they had on the road. They lost one home game, a game that they really should have won. But that was, you know, that's neither here nor there. And so it is interesting watching fans trying to conquer this fear, this general impending doom. And so I'm curious if you noticed something, and because I've been kind of, you know, as I've been in, you know, painkiller induced haze of tweeting, one thing that I've noticed, and maybe I have like newfound clarity on this because I'm all drugged up, We really are a negative group as Chiefs fans. And I'm not sure when that started. Maybe it's been going on for a while, but I really think these last two playoff losses especially really sucked something out of Chiefs fans to where there's not a lot of optimism. And here's one thing I'm concerned about. I see so many people that are so upset about the defense, about just whatever, about Andy Reid maybe, whatever, that when you see things posted like Football Outsiders pointing out that this is one of the best five offenses in the history of the NFL, do you worry that people are missing that?
Yeah, and actually Matt Derrick mentioned that on the podcast, that it's amazing to him that fans are missing that. And I have to agree, it's gotten really negative, and I get the questioning, I get the, you know, the impending, this, you know, this team is going to fail, blah, and stuff. I get it. I will say this, that my mentions during a game is not fun. I could do without most of the mentions that I get during the game, especially when things are going bad for Kansas City, because the negativity is just over the top sometimes.
I completely agree. I just think football is an emotional game, you know, and that's natural. And the one thing I keep thinking about with football, everything feels like an event because there's so little of everything, right? There's only 16 games during a year. During games, there's only what, 10 or 11 possessions. During every possession, yep, there's only maybe what, 10 plays, between 5 to 15 plays at most. Every play, there's a big gap between plays.
Unless you have Patrick Mahomes, where some drives,
yeah, take,
you
know, like 2 plays.
5% of his drives are 3 plays where he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, I mean, if you're interested, I also talk about scoring quickly. I might write an article on this too, just for another myth busting thing. The idea that the Chiefs offense is scoring too quickly and that's why the defense has struggled this year is completely, totally, categorically untrue. And if you break down the numbers, the reason the Chiefs are losing time of possession this year is just because the defense is bad, not the other way around. People have the chicken and egg mixed up there, right? They think that there's more time of possession, which has made the defense bad. No, the defense is bad, which has led to more time of possession. But that's neither here nor there. But check that out on Twitter. I actually did a whole like myth-busting thread on that, like during my few moments of lucidity there.
I've got a myth busting article you can write if you were looking for one.
I love myth busting.
I want to know, since the bye week or maybe since mid season, how much more the Chiefs have gone 3 and out compared to the beginning of the
season. That's something interesting to look at. Why would you want me to look at that?
Because I think that's a big reason the defense has struggled at times.
Sure.
I do think that you look at, and I, forgive me, I don't remember if it's the Chargers game or if there's another game. No, I think it was the Chargers game where they went and scored 4 touchdowns and had 4 3-and-outs. Mm-hmm. And you can't have 4 3-and-outs. And you can't have half your possessions go in 3 and out.
Sure.
And win a lot of games.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The reason that was such a low possession game, though, was because the defense gave up a zillion horribly long drives, right? In theory.
No, and I agree with that.
In theory, you should have 10 or 11 possessions in a game.
And I agree with that. But if they get 1 first down or 2 first downs at any point in those 3 and out possessions, the Chargers don't have time to come back at the end.
Right, but if they score touchdowns, they don't either.
Well, no, that's true. But at the same time, they got the ball on the Chargers side of the 50 and didn't get a first down and didn't get any points. And that cost them too.
It absolutely does. But the problem is, unless you play a literally perfect game, it's kind of like you can always play if the quarterback had completed 5 more passes, they would have won. That's almost always true in a close game. So here's the interesting thing though, because there's definitely an impact there. And I agree with you. If the offense plays better, it makes the defense matter less. And it helps the defense to an extent. Here's the thing though. People think of the game in terms of plays and time of possession, when in reality, they should think of it in terms of possessions. And no matter how long a team hangs on to the ball, the other team gets the ball back at the end of that. And so the only thing that happens is you're raising or lowering, unless you're talking about turnovers, but like with time of possession, running the ball, all that, you're not raising or lowering the number of possessions the other team has. You're raising or lowering the number of possessions both teams have. And the only thing you can do there is maybe randomize the game a little bit more by lowering the total number of possessions. And the Chiefs, their big thing is they are allowing a league worst, something like 45 yards a drive, or maybe it's a little over 40. I can't remember the exact numbers. And by doing that, you're allowing every drive, as compared to like previous years, they're averaging like 9 more per drive than they've allowed in previous years. And that means what you're doing is you're allowing teams an extra first down every drive. That's an extra first down is an extra minute or two of possession, at least.
And I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that the defense has played well. I'm simply stating that you cannot have 3 and outs, half of your possessions in a game against a team like the Chargers and expect to win.
But here's the problem. It shouldn't be 3 possessions shouldn't be half your possessions. And if,
well,
and if
four.
You're, or four, but, or four. And that's a reflection of how poorly the team played on defense. If your defense even played at an average level, you'd have had another 2 possessions. And then they would have scored another touchdown if they kept doing that weird, you know, touchdown or 3 and out kind of thing that they've been doing. And so while I totally agree with you, the Chiefs offense could have done more. That game in particular, with how it ended, was tough. And I think that's where a lot of Chiefs fans started to get a little kerfuffled, was because that loss felt familiar. But the reality is the defense has played at one of the worst levels in the league by far this season.
And I completely agree with you. They've played horrible this season. All I'm saying is if the offense can just be just a little bit better in those situations, it completely changes the outcome of
that
game.
And I agree.
And then and at that point, you're not worried about trying to lock up the one seed against the Raiders, and you don't see some of the records that they ended up getting on Sunday, which was fun to see.
Exactly. We would have had less fun. And I do think you can always be better, and their offense is going to need to carry them. One thing that I'm really curious about, I know we got to take one more break, and so maybe we can talk about this after the break, is do we think that the offense or the defense can be better in the playoffs? So we'll tackle that right after this last break here.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right, Chris, what do you think? The offense, one of the 5 best in history by value over replacement, Football Outsiders metric. Can the offense be better in the playoffs than it was in the regular season?
Yes.
Noise. Tell me more.
No, without a doubt in my mind, I don't. And I have to ask this question because Ryan and I were actually talking before we decided we were going to record just you and me. And one of the questions he wanted me to ask you is your thoughts on why they're going with Allen over Irving, because I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Allen is a lot slower and doesn't give them near as much at guard as Irving has. But the other thing that I think really can help this offense, and people keep telling me he's not coming back, but LDT and Sammy Watkins,
yes.
You put those 2 players on this offense, and I don't think they ever miss scoring 30 points a game.
I don't think they do either.
I would even say that I don't know that they score less than 34 points a game, maybe even 35.
The downgrade, and you know, one guard doesn't make or break, but you know, losing LDT and then losing a bunch of other alignment as well, that was kind of a sum of the parts. You know, there were a bunch of issues there, and so that keeps it from being as exponential an issue. Watkins is definitely missed when he's not on the field. Robinson is a very good athlete, and he's good at getting open, but he can't quite be relied on to do what he's supposed to do. Conley's not explosive. Benjamin's not explosive. And so the Chiefs definitely lose a lot without Watkins.
And Robinson needs to learn to not run backwards for 15 yards.
I mean, you know, God only knows. My kids could have watched that. It's just so terrible. But, you know, there's definitely a lot the offense loses. And so that's going to be getting the bye week here. And I know there's a ton of people that don't believe that they'll be back. I have no idea either way. I don't. And I don't think we're going to know until next week. But getting.
Well, I expect that LDT mm-hmm. is back mainly because they would have never started to have him practice if they didn't think he was going to be ready at the end of the three.
I agree with that. I just, the Chiefs being optimistic about a player doesn't make me as optimistic as it used to after kind of the Barry fiasco, although that's a super unusual kind of injury. And so yep. I'm trying not to let that affect me too much. So I would just say, yes, the offense can reach its ceiling and basically be unstoppable. And that would be such a huge break because the offense all too often for the last 6 weeks or so has consisted of either needing huge plays from Hill or Kelsey or needing Mahomes to carry them. And because those three particular players are so great, it still has been arguably the best offense in the league, but it hasn't been quite as good. And so
you put Watkins on this unit, I honestly think they're going to score 30 to 40 points a game. I just, the way that this team is playing, and you put Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson and any of those other weapons as your third wide receiver, as opposed to your second wide receiver, it completely changes.
Yeah, things. I could definitely see that.
And I think Hill is finally getting healthy as well, which is big because I don't think he was healthy for a couple of weeks, even though he played.
I agree completely. They were down, what I commented is that they were down to a hobbled Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They no longer had the best offensive playmaker group in the NFL, and it wasn't even close. Now they're getting there. And so we'll see what happens with Watkins. I'm very curious how it all ends up. I think given the timetable that I saw, the earliest that he could have returned would have been like this week. And so one would imagine that he's got a shot.
Yeah. Now I have to ask the question. We got to flip it over to the other side of the ball. Do I think the defense can get better? I do think it can get better. Obviously, if Eric Berry is able to play in 2 weeks, that will be a boon for the defense. But I have to ask your opinion. What have you thought of Ward? Because that's a situation that we didn't expect to happen. And I think it's worked out well for them. And Jordan Lucas, I think, played well when he was able to play before he got a stinger.
I personally, I like having Ward on the field, I think. It's only two games, so it's almost impossible to say one way or another. But he definitely looked a lot better than he looked versus the Seahawks. But at the same time, the Seahawks, I mean, he faced a bunch of perfect throws and great routes. And so.
Okay. Thank you for saying that, because that was my big thing with him is that some of those throws, there's almost not a DB in the NFL that could have.
Right. There just wasn't much he could do. And so I thought he looked fine. I do think he brings some energy. I think he's definitely an athlete. I like what the energy Jordan Lucas brings as well. I think the defense as a whole looked energized out there. I personally want them to bring on a defensive consultant for the playoffs because I think they do need to change some things up. I doubt they'll do that. That's a super aggressive move, but I sure would love to see it.
I would love to see him to go and hire Steve Wilkes as a defensive consultant, knowing that and have something knowing that he's going to be DC after the season's over. Because I really have started to wonder if Reed is starting to make changes on defense because he can't deal with it being as bad as it has. So I'm getting a little encouraged thinking that Sutton may end up being gone.
We've definitely seen a number of changes that were surprising that seem like they may have come from the top. And so I would like to see something too. I don't want to see Reed become too intrusive with the defense, but it is encouraging to know that maybe he knows there's a problem. So I don't know. Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, man. Hey, Chris, you know, one thing I wanted to say, you know, as we wind up here, you know, obviously one change that's come this year, I've gone from being a regular guest to part of the team here. And, you know, Ryan's not here right now, so I'll just say it to you. I just, you know, and I said this to both of you guys before, but I really appreciate you guys inviting me onto the team. And I just enjoy talking football with you guys so much. This has been a blast. I'm looking forward to doing it for a long time with you guys. This is awesome.
Hey, we really enjoy having you and looking forward to a lot more in 2019.
that's that then, I think. You know?
Yeah, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.